Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
I want to preach on the triumphant entry a little bit this morning. I think it has such great revelation, not only because of what it brought to pass, but of the model that it sets before us. And that's really been big. I've preached on it twice. I've preached the Mary model over Christmas and the miracle model after Christmas. But I think when we read the Word of God, we need to see that God is not only showing us what happened in that moment, but He's showing us things that we can put to use, and revelation that things that happen or precede His presence or the miraculous. And so I think this is one of those texts. Luke 19, verse 28. And when Jesus had thus spoken, he went before ascending up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he was come nigh to Bethphage and Bethany, at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, Go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering you shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him, and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, why do you loose him? Thus shall you say unto him, because the Lord hath need of him. I want to preach for a few moments on the subject, the Lord needs it. The Lord needs it. There's not a lot of things that God needs. So I think this is a peculiar text from that thought, that the Lord needs it. Turn to your neighbor and just tell him, the Lord needs it. Tell him, loose it. And let it go. You may be seated. How many of you like new things? Just talked to one of our brothers today during the meet and greet. I said, how are you enjoying your new truck? He said, oh, I love that new truck. I love new things. I love new vehicles. I love, I haven't had one yet, but I like going to your new house and that new house smell, the new car smell. I don't like leftovers when it comes to food. I want it cooked right then, right there. I like new. And this is an instance where Jesus is doing a new thing. Before we go any further, can I just encourage you yet again that God does not want to recycle old things and old blessings, but He wants to do a new thing in you, in your family, through you. That it is not God's, it's not God's way, it's not God's track record to recycle that which is old and bring it to make it new again, but to actually do a new thing. It's why the psalmist would say, "Sing unto the Lord a new song." There's something about new things, and we do not discard everything that is old. I still love the old hymns. I still love old school Holy Ghost preaching. I still love all of what God has done to get us to where we are today. But how many of you know sometimes we've got to do a new thing to get to a new place? And we've got to have sometimes a new obedience to maybe some new faith in our lives to allow God to do something that is new. A lot of us have recycled our faith and we're seeing the same results over and over again. And I want to encourage you today, if you don't like where you're at, you're going to have to do something new. If you don't like what you see, you're going to have to start saying some new things. You're going to have to start praying and prophesying some new things. And so in this story, in this account, there's one word that just jumps out at me, and that is the newness of what Jesus has done for 3.5 years. He has ministered on planet Earth. For 3.5 years, he's walked with James and John and Peter and Thomas and Judas. And here is something now today that they have never seen before and never been a part of before. I love the fact that Jesus still does all that he's ever done. But I love the fact that Jesus is doing something brand new here in April of 2019. He's doing things today that he's never done before, and we get to be in on it. I want to encourage you this morning that God wants to do a new thing, but God will not do a new thing in an old way or an old vessel. God wants to make everything new. God wants to regene and regenerate us so that everything that we say, everything that we do has a newness to it. So when we go to the text in verse 28 of Luke 19, Jesus speaks and he ascends up to Jerusalem. And the Bible says in verse 29, "And it came to pass when he had come nigh to Bethphage and Bethany at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples." Now, I don't know which two disciples it was. It does not tell us which two it is. And so that tells us that that part of this account is not very important, which I like that because it's not telling us that it was Peter. It was not telling us that it was the beloved John. It was just any two of his disciples. How many disciples of Jesus Christ do we have in the house today? Just raise your hand and make a little noise. I'm a follower in Jesus, a follower of Jesus Christ and a believer. And so when I see God give directive to those disciples, I can read myself into the text here. And God gives them command. I want you to go into the village, and this is what I want you to do. You're going to find a colt tied. Now, when you read this account through all of the synoptic gospels, and you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John's account of it, it is written in every gospel, but they have different things that they pick up on. Now, Luke does not mention this, but there is actually two horses or two donkeys in this equation. In Bible history, it tells us that one of them is the mother, and that one of them is the mother to the young colt, and this colt had never been ridden before. And so one Bible account tells us that there was two. Bible history tells us that two disciples went because they brought both horses. They brought the mother to the colt, and they brought the colt. They brought the mother that had been ridden before, and they brought the colt who had never been ridden, never been broken before. You say, why does that matter? It matters to us because this. Because when Jesus chooses which horse he's going to ride, it says something, says a whole lot of something about the God that we serve. Number one, it says that I'm getting ready to do something that has never been done before. I'm getting ready to ride a colt that has never, I don't have to train it. Come on now. He was the original horse whisperer. He didn't have to saddle it. He didn't have to put it in the round pen. He didn't have to send it to the trainer for a couple months. He didn't have to get all of his tack out and the bridle out, all of that. Jesus said, show me, bring me the colt. And so when you see this, he said, you're going to see a colt tied that a man has never sat on. Loose him and bring him hither. The first thing that I want you to know is that Jesus in this moment is doing a new thing. Now, before we can get to hosannas, before they rip the palm trees off the trees, before the palm branches off the trees, before they take off their cloaks and lay them on the back of the colt and in the way of the colt, before that, Jesus lets them know, I'm getting ready to do something that you've never seen me do before. See, that should excite you right there, because he still does that today. See, we're getting ready to talk about the triumphant entry of Jesus. And what we call triumphant in that moment was actually tragic and tragedy. And tragedy always precedes triumph. Tragedy always precedes. Come on, somebody. There's always something bad that happens. I shared this with the men on Monday. There is no such thing as healing unless we are sick. There's no way that we can celebrate prosperity unless we've been broke. There's no way that we can celebrate freedom unless we've been bound. And so before we get to the triumph, there is a tragedy. And the tragedy is that Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross. And we'll talk about that next week. But before the cross happens, here he is getting ready to make his way, knowing that some of the very men that applaud him and lay out their garments, some of those men are going to betray him. Some of those men are going to cuss everybody out and turn their back. And so Jesus is saying, behold, I'm getting ready to do a new thing. Can I encourage somebody today? I don't know what your situation looks like. I don't know how grim it looks like today. I don't know what the doctors have said. I don't know what your spouse is saying. I don't know if it's been a few months since you've talked to your children. But I do know this. God is giving you a command. And his command is get ready. Because when you do
do what I've called you to do. I'm getting ready to do something that has never been done before, not only in your life, but in the world. Can I just get a witness in here today that believes in April of 2019, 2,000 years after Jesus came to this earth, he is still whispering, I'm getting ready to do something brand new. I'm getting ready to show up to the scene like I've never shown up before. I know we usually walk in, but today I'm riding in. So Jesus, for a split second, looks at the mother horse, looks at the horse colt, and says, I'm not doing it an old way. Bring me the colt that has never been ridden before. Listen, y'all, I've been bucked off of horses that have been ridden before. But when Jesus gets on, man, I love this. When Jesus gets on the colt doesn't squirm. The colt doesn't do its best rodeo impersonation. The colt just says, where you lead me, I will go. Where do you want to go? Can I just tell you that when Jesus sits down on your situation, what in other terms would be unruly, in other terms it would kick your face in other terms it would have bucked you off, but when Jesus sits down, that's what we call the Shekinah Glory Church. It's the settling presence of God. And what was done before, it will not be done that way. I want to tell somebody today, as crazy as your life seems like it's going, you don't need a psychiatrist. You don't need a psychologist. What you need is to be obedient to the new thing that God is doing and say, Jesus, if you want to sit down on my life. Because the donkey knows what sits on me is the voice that created me. When you understand that what you're facing is a byproduct of something in this earth, and this earth was created by God, you'll never fear the substance of this earth that has been manipulated and polluted and diluted by the adversary. You will never worry about those things because you know there is a God that created everything on this earth. And even though the devil has tried to pollute it, the devil has tried to manipulate it to be injurious to you, here Jesus comes and says, if you will give it to me, I will sit down on it with all of my presence, all of my glory, all of my power and authority. And I'm sure Peter and James are saying, now Jesus, are you sure you want to do this? I didn't know you were raised on a ranch or on a farm. I thought you were a carpenter. And Jesus is saying, don't you remember that I was the one that stood at the beginning of time, that stood on nothing and created everything, that said, let there be light. And you said Jesus was there. All Jesus was there from the very beginning. He's the one who told the waves, this is as far as you can come and you cannot come any further. He's the one that created Mount Everest. He's the one that created all the gold on the West Coast. He's the one that created the water. Read Genesis. Out of the water, he created the whales and the fish. And out of the trees, he created the fruit. And so when he looks at an unruly situation, he says, it's nothing for me to sit down on it and act right. How many moms we got in the house today? Have you perfected your mom look? That's that public look when your kids are acting crazy, unruly, and you just shoot them the side-eye glance. And what you're saying, your body language speaks louder than your voice ever could. Because what you're saying is I brought you in this world, and I can take you out. So what was unruly for everybody else, Jesus looks at the donkey and says, I created you. Now you're going to function how I called you to function. You're not going to bray. You're not going to act crazy. You're not going to kick. You're not going to fuss. I'm talking to somebody that you've got a situation that you've been dealing with, and I'm here to tell you that God is going to sit down on it today, and what was trouble in your life is now going to walk out, and it's going to function like God created it to function. I know next service is healing service, but I'm talking to somebody's body who has tried to betray you in the last few months or the last couple weeks. I'm here to declare to you that God is giving it the side-eye look, saying, listen, I created your body, and your body will not kill you. Your body will not give out. Your body will not double-cross you. I'm sitting on it. Somebody say Shekinah glory. Jesus is doing a new thing. Second thing I'd like to just let you know before I take my seat is Jesus gave us the power to loose. He said, I give you authority, man, I love this, to go and take something that is really not yours. Oh, I knew it'd get quiet there. I'm going to give you authority to go and to take something you didn't work for. You don't own. You didn't train. You ain't been feeding. You haven't been taking care of it. That's been somebody else's job. But here Jesus says, when you go into the village, you're going to see a colt, and I'm giving you the command to go and loose him. Don't ask for him to be loosed. Don't tell anybody what you're doing. Just go into the barn and loose the colt. Can I encourage you? Matthew chapter 16, one of my favorite chapters in all of the Bible. It's where Jesus would ask, who do men say that I am? And we know how that entire account goes, and so I won't go through all of that, but I want to encourage you with this. When God gives you the revelation of who he is, there is a power that comes with it. He said, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Can I encourage you that sometimes it happens in heaven before it happens on earth. But in this case, God said, whatever you bind and loose here, it will happen there. I want to tell you that God has given you the power to loose whatever you need. If you're sick, you need to loose healing today. If you're depressed, you need to loose joy today. Listen, if you don't have a job, you need to loose employment today. If you're broke, you need to loose money today. I don't know what you need, but God has given us the authority to walk to wherever we need to walk and to loose whatever God has called us to loose. Jesus gave us that power. And then I love verse 31. And if any man asks you, why do you loose him? Jesus knew there was going to be questions when you start walking in authority. Has anybody ever walked in authority and somebody said, why you? Have you ever done something grand in faith and somebody asked you, who are you supposed to be? You think you're God's chosen? Yes, I do. You think you're special? Yes, I do. You think you're better than me? See, believers have gotten caught in the politically correct culture that we don't want to say things that ruffle feathers. We don't want to do things that ruffle feathers. Case in point, it's why when we walk in the hospital to pray for somebody, we're meek, we're quiet, and then we say a little prayer and we leave. When the Bible calls us as believers to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That's why when you go out and do what God has called you to do, you can't do it meek, mild, and in the corner. You've got to do it on Main Street with some bass in your voice, with some authority and power in your voice, knowing that God has sent me, that God is doing a new thing, and God has given me all authority to loose whatever I need loosed. Can I tell somebody today, you are one act and word of authority from loosing that thing that you've been praying for. Quit praying about it when God's given you the authority to loose it. I'm not telling you not to pray, but a lot of times we're praying about things that God has already given us the power over, that God has already given us the ability to release. Go back to that scripture if you would. And if anybody should ask you, why do you loose him? This is what you will say to him. These seven words are some of the most important in all of the Bible as it relates to the authority of believers. Because it does not tell us to have a discourse. Does not tell us to have a dialogue. It does not tell us to debate. Do not debate the scripture. Most people that would love to debate you don't believe like you do, so they're never going to agree with you. It's casting pearls before swine. Now, if they really have a desire, sit down and show them the Word of God. And let me tell you something, Facebook is never the place to do that, ever. You should have enough self-control to keep scrolling without wading into those waters. Because the Lord hath need of him. The greatest thing when you are from a place, operating from a place of authority, church, is that you can say something and then let it rest. Don't add to it. Don't make it politically correct. Why are you loosing that colt? Well, if I could have 5 minutes of your time, there's a man named Jesus. Jesus has been doing great things for 3.5 years. He's getting ready to go in Jerusalem. And he just said, don't do all of that. Because now if you take too long doing this, Jesus is going to be late for his assignment. Oh, come on now. That's good preaching. Because the Lord hath need of him. The next time somebody asks you why you're doing what you're doing, you put it off on God. Because God told me to. Because God spoke a word. You don't have to explain it any more than that. You don't have to have dialogue any more than that. I want to help somebody today that you've been trying to explain your vision. You've been trying to explain your dream, and people aren't getting it, and people have question after question after question. Let them question themselves, but you just operate in the authority that this is what God has told me to do. He's given me the authority to do it, and while you're busy wondering why I'm doing it, I'm going to do it. Can I encourage somebody today? We've been wasting time talking to people about what God has called us to do when we should just put our head down and do what God has called us to do. Why? Because all of creation is waiting for the cross and the crucifixion and the resurrection, and you and your dialogue in the barnyard is costing us precious time. If they don't believe like you believe, love them, pray for them, shake the dust from your feet, and keep doing what God has called you to do. We are wasting time talking when we could be worshiping. We are wasting time debating when we could be praying. We are wasting time talking about how we're going to build the fire and instead of building the fire. Can I encourage somebody today, when you hear from God, this is what God wants you to do. Put your head down and get to work, because Jesus is about to have his triumphant entry into your life when you loose what God has called you to loose and set him up for his entry. I'm just thinking that Peter had to be one of the disciples, because Peter would cuss you out like that. And when the owner of the colt says, what are you doing? The Lord has need for him. I'm sending the guy that will cut somebody's ear off, that will fight for the right to be a part of the process to get God to where he's going. The title of this message, the Lord needs it. He doesn't need a lot of things, but one thing that the Lord needs is the obedience of humanity to get him in position to do what he has been called to do, which is to seek and save that which is lost. I know that we're talking about the triumphant entry, but before we can ever get to the praisers, before we can ever get to Jerusalem, I need to talk to somebody about what we have to do to get Jesus ready to make that triumphant entry into our life. You say, it feels like I've been living by myself and Jesus hadn't show up. Have you done everything that you're supposed to do? Are you expecting God to do it an old way? Are you saying, God, it's going to be a new thing on a new colt? Are you expecting God to go get the colt, loose the colt? Listen, he created the colt. The least we can do is loose the colt to go and lead him to Jesus. And when Jesus gets on the colt of our life, he says, get ready. Because when we hit that gate of Jerusalem, pandemonium is going to break out. Big praise is going to break out. Big worship is going to break out. The Pharisees and Sadducees are going to throw a fit over what's about to happen. You think you've praised me before? You think worship has happened before? You have not seen anything yet. And when they hit the edge of Jerusalem and they start saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Jesus knew he was going to a cross. All of the men and women thought this was the moment that their king took his crown. But before he could take a crown, he had to take a cross. And he's on his way to the cross, and praise breaks out in such a level, they start ripping branches off of trees. It wasn't like we did in the old church where we brought our palm branches with us. They didn't have anything to praise God, and so they started just grabbing anything that would do. And all of that happened because two disciples said, yes, God, I'll do what you called me to do, and I'll do it the way you want me to do it, and I'll operate in authority. And when I operate in authority, you're going to show up in a brand new way. Stand on your feet. I love this. I love authority. One of the greatest things I did was had kids because I have authority over them. I don't have authority over anybody else. I can tell them what to do. Last night, Jaden left the chips out. Left them sitting on the counter, wide open, brand new bag of chips. On our way out today, I said, Jaden, you the last one that ate those chips? Yes, sir. I said, you owe me $3. That's the word of the Father. The authority is this afternoon when I collect. Too many believers are talking too much stuff, and they have no authority. They have a pseudo-authority. Where we can dance and praise and worship and do all the right moves and sing all the right chords and all the right lyrics and all the right melodies. But when it comes down to real life on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, we don't have a lot of authority. And the reason I know we don't have a lot of authority is we barely crawl back in here on Sunday. But if you expect Jesus to have a triumphant entry into your life, you're going to have to go get the colt. You're going to have enough nerve to go get a colt that you don't own. You're going to have the nerve to go into the enemy's camp and say, you're not going to have this anymore. The Lord has need of my daughter. The Lord has need of my husband. The Lord has need of my money, and so I'm not going to waste it. It's not going to be robbed from me. Before he can sit down on the colt, somebody's got to find him a colt. God gives them directions. They go and get all of these things ready, holding that colt, and Jesus gets on, and the rest is history. You know what? 30 seconds. Nobody in the moment when they're waving their palm branches, singing Hosanna, nobody's saying, I wonder where the colt came from. Nobody's saying, I wonder whose colt that is. Every time I've ever seen Jesus, he's walking. Nobody cares about that. But the most important thing is now here he comes on his way to a cross for redemption. And because he goes to a cross for redemption, he's going to go to a grave, and he's going to get the keys to death, hell, and the grave. He's going to have a resurrection, all because two guys went and got a colt and said, the Lord has need of this. Obedience and authority working simultaneously as a tandem and a dynamic duo. The Holy Ghost, day of Pentecost, upper room, happens because two guys said, yes, Lord, whatever you need me to do. I love Living Way because we have people that will do whatever it takes. We literally have gentlemen and ladies show up on Saturdays. You don't see them Saturdays at 9 a.m. and they power wash the drives. They clean the baseboards. They vacuum. They work on the church. They do things. And you say, is that important? Jesus showed up today because they were here yesterday. Come on, you don't know where the colt came. You're just glad that it came because it carries your Savior. It carries your King. I want to open up this altar right now for anybody in this house that's ready for Jesus to make an entry into your life. You're ready for Jesus to come into your life like never before. You're ready for Jesus to do that new thing. God bless you. I love when men of God boldly walk to this altar. Sister Patricia, God bless you. God bless you. If you're in this house today and you're ready for God to make a brand new entry into your life, not to do the same things over, not to do an old thing in a new way, but to do a new thing in a new way. Before Jesus could go to the cross, there was a triumphant entry. This is your entry. This is His entry for you. He comes riding on the back of obedience. He comes riding on the back of authority. He comes riding on the back of those that have faith. And for those that have gathered in this altar already, I believe that God Himself is stepping into your life. Because of your obedience, because you put one foot in front of the other and you walk 50 steps or 100 steps to get to this altar, God is saying, that's what I needed. I needed somebody to operate in authority and say, I'm going to go get mine. I'm going to loose those things that God has called me to loose. God